briefcase, and it was beginning to fall apart. So I got home. A few days later, there was in the mail from Georgia Dujic a little coupon, because I said I'd been looking for a briefcase. And my briefcase was about like this at that particular time. And when I was on a plane one time, I saw a man have a good thick briefcase. I'll try and lean forward so we won't have the echo gain on that if we can, okay? So if I lean back a little bit, just raise your hand if it's not coming up. So I'll lean forward here a little bit, because sometimes that echoes a little hard on the ears. But anyway, I saw this leather briefcase, and I said, "Where did you get this?" And he said, "I got it at Portland Luggage." Well, I was going up to Portland, so I went to Portland Luggage, and they said, "Yeah, we have one just like that, $595. And I said, "Thank you, I don't need that." So here I'm limping along with this briefcase breaking down. So Georgia sent me a coupon from a mail order house that she had, and it had that size of briefcase there. This one is 9 inches, and I thought, well, I don't need it. Well, it was only $49.95, all leather and everything, so hey, I sent away for it. So I got it there. And lo and behold, guess what? It's just like when you move to a bigger house, you fill it up. Every square inch is used. So with that, I was able to do something I wasn't able to do with the other one. I carry everything. Even this. There's a little history to this. Where's Tom Moody? I mentioned last year about Pete Peters, who whenever he gave his opinion, he'd ring the cowbell. So next morning I got here, and there was a little package. So I opened it up, and it rang. Got my cowbell. So since this Bible study is going to cover some things where we may have some opinions, I'll ring it from time to time. Okay? That way you'll know it's not dogma. So if on the tape every once in a while you hear the, you know, it's not dogma, so you don't have to believe it is absolute truth. Consider it as a possibility. Okay? Because when you're dealing with prophecy, we found out that if we would have rung the bell many times in the past, we would have had a better understanding than we have now. So I may ring the bell from time to time. I'm going to start out here and just cover a couple of things. Just by the way of news items, a new tiny bug-like robot may do surgery from the inside. And it may be a good way to kill you, too. What if it gets in there and it makes a wrong turn and it eats up your heart? You know, that's a possibility. Anything to not trust God, right? Anything to not trust God. Or if you want to use some herbs to help yourself out, boy, you're going to go to trial, you know, all that sort of stuff. Well, you know, God gave herbs for the service of man. Nothing wrong with that. Is there witchcraft involved with some herbs? Yeah. But because you use herbs to help your system cleanse itself, are you going into witchcraft? No. Oh, I was looking for the broom. No, you're not. Do false preachers use the Bible? Yes. Does that make the Bible wrong? No. It's the Word of God. It's just the understanding. Same way with using any herbs. Okay. Now, this was sent to me, and I think George is one of my news bureaus out there. I have three or four. Betty Leonard's another one. Betty regularly sends me all kinds of clippings, and I'm all caught up on the abortion problem and murdering the doctor down there. She sends it to me. Now, they have two of them down there. She thought it would be over with the one, and now we've got the second one. And, you know, Satan always uses a nut. so that everyone will be convinced that, you know, he's not doing what he should be doing. Now, if that were Josiah, he would run in there and stick the sword in his stomach and hack off his head and burn the abortion clinic to the ground. So she sent me this article here, Single Sex Can Be Holy, Conservative Rabbis Say. Oh, wonderful. Not so. God does not say so. Okay? Let me see if I can get all these. Last year I gave a sermon on the rising coming one world religion and how that they're probably going to have a lot of goddess worship. Well, guess what's been in the news all since then? Goddess worship. Sophia. So here the Watchman's Expositor has a whole thing concerning the reimagining God, where it was a totally radical feminist goddess movement. And Art Lierskopf last year gave me the book, When God Was a Woman, which I gave a sermon on, When God Was a Woman, and some people said, boy, that really hit home. Well, it's coming. It's coming more and more and more. When I talk a little bit about the possibility of popes, then we'll also talk about some other things. Now, here's one that another one of my news bureau ladies sent me. This is from Evelyn Gardner concerning hate crimes. Hate crimes extend far beyond the new legislation being introduced across America and makes any form of criticism a hate crime. If the criticism is based on race, ethnic origin, sexual preference, or religion. And brethren, the Bible is full of that. Full of that. And it starts out with the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. And the whole reason that we are here is because of Israel, which was a racial decision by God. Now, if there are any racial problems that come up, take it to God. No nation on the face of the earth today, any one person within it can say, I chose my destiny to be here. Now, if you could, then you may have something to say about it. In Christ, we are all one in Christ. God says that's sufficient. That doesn't mean everything else in the world is one. And Paul clearly said that the Gentiles would be grafted into Israel. What is the name of the new city? Jerusalem. What are the foundation stones? The names of the patriarchs and the apostles, correct? Yes. Now, a lot of us, we don't know what we are. And the only thing we can say, we need to do whatever we can as God shows us. And Satan is the one who stirs up a lot of the strife and difficulty and problems way beyond what they ought to be. And yes, people have been mistreated. And yes, people have been held captive. And yes, people have been forced to do things. And it's also here in the Bible. Yes, it is. So we're not going to solve the problems by going out and trying to solve them politically. It is not going to work. all the things that are going on in the world are part of this world. We're not to be out from the world. Now it's a shame that some of God's churches are going back into the world. So we can't solve all those problems. If we don't love God and love each other, it doesn't matter who you are. Remember what Jesus said to those people that said, "Why, we be Abraham's seed." He said, "I know you are, but you don't do the works of Abraham." And so God is going to show he's no respecter of persons, because when correction starts at the house of God, it also starts with Israel. And God is going to correct Israel first, so that all the world knows that God is not a respecter of even the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the physical lineage which he chose. And the only reason we have what we have is because of God's promise to Abraham. And almost every nation in the world is correct in saying, "You don't deserve it because of your conduct." That is true, so God is going to take it from us. God took it from Israel many times in the past. We're right in the midst of it right now. Some of these things coming down have to do with that very same thing. Now, I want to cover just a couple of things. Cover about the beast power today. We've got some other things here that I'll just set aside. They won't fit in. But I think we're going to see, brethren, that Israel is going to be taken down differently than by 10 nations rising out of Europe. Let's see what's going to happen. Let's go to... And remember, when you talk about prophecy, even though you may talk about one prophecy at one time, that is not to the exclusion of the other prophecies that come up, simply because you can't discuss everything at the same time. But every prophecy is coming down. You talk about a superhighway of information that you're talking about with computers. Every prophecy is coming down the superhighway of fulfillment. And every single one is going to be fulfilled. Without a doubt. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 28. Because these things still apply to physical Israel today, not having to do with spiritual salvation. But I'll tell you what, brethren, if it were not for the promises given to the house of Joseph, and if it were not for the what was done, which we will see on the Sabbath concerning the English Bible, and what the house of Joseph has done, the physical lineage to do that, which is the United States and Britain, we would not be able to preach the gospel, because in order to preach it, they've got to have the word there first. And it's there. Deuteronomy 28. Here's how America is going to go down. Verse 43. You can read all the rest up to it. "And the stranger that is within you shall get up high above you, very high, and you shall come down very low." Now, what do you think's happening in the world today in the United States of America? You can go in some places in America and you think you're in a foreign country. You do not even hear English. I know I called some government agency and I could not even understand her. I had to repeat it 3 times. So finally, I said, "Could you please get someone who speaks English?" Now, she may have been offended, but I was offended. going to happen. He shall lend to you, and you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you will be the tail. And I don't think America is going to come down because of 10 nations invading us. I think we're going to come down from within, and the troops and the arrangements for the troops are pretty well already here. Just a matter of time. But we'll talk about that a little bit later here. So the prophecies concerning Israel and Judah are going to come down the line. Prophecies concerning all the nations of the world are going to come down the line. Prophecies of prosperity accompanied with death, famine, earthquakes, pestilence, false prophets, those are all coming down the line. The prophecies concerning the church, as contained in Revelation 2 and 3, are all coming down the line. So I'm going to ring the bell. Let's go to Revelation 2 and 3. Now, you're all familiar with Revelation 2 and 3 in the seven churches there, correct? So I'm going to present a possibility. And I'm just going to ask the question from the point of view, let's watch. Because we are not at the end yet. Now there are seven churches, correct? What is the theme of Revelation? Theme of Revelation is the seven seals, out of which come the seven trumpet plagues, out of which come the seven last plagues. Question. May there be something like this associated with Revelation 2 and 3? You've got the seven that were at the beginning when this was written. You have the historical projection down through history, which is true. Commonly called eras, but I don't think understood properly in the past, and I can't say I properly understand it, and I don't think anyone can because we don't have the history. But at least we could have a general outline. Could it be at the end that there are again going to be seven contemporary churches not defined and labeled by these names, which may consist of many groupings of different independent churches, of which we really don't comprehend the fullness of it? I think that's more than possible. And someone asked me some time ago what church era that I think we're in. He wanted me to say Laodicean. Possible? But I said 1 Corinthians. Because every church problem in 1 Corinthians is found in the churches of God today. Now, if you walk by church eras, you are going to die by church eras. If you walk in love and faith, you shall find salvation. The whole point is, we can do very little about history. We're part of it. Which part, we may or may not know. So I present that as a prophetic possibility.
How it's defined, God knows, because Christ is the head of the church. So just keep that in mind. Okay? Now, let's come a little bit further here in the book of Revelation. Now, before we get there, we need to understand some things. Let's go back to John 16 and verse 13. This is why the administration of the Spirit is so important for us. every one of us have a wonderful, perfect, 100% clear prophetic vision when it has been fulfilled. None of us have 100% clear prophetic vision of events yet to take place. Now, we may be looking through some things where we can see some things. But unless you have love and faith, it doesn't matter. Like I've explained about the place of safety many times. If you know where it is and you don't get there, your knowledge didn't do you one bit of good. If you don't know where it is and you get there, you'll find out where it is when you go. Okay? Now that's too simple. I just heard of a new place of safety. On some island south of Australia, on an iceberg. So let's see, we've got that. We've got, someone said New Zealand. I've been trying to recall all the places of safety that we've had. Of course, there's Petra. God can protect us in Petra without a doubt. Okay? If that's God's will. I've heard of Aspen, Colorado. That's the small iceberg. Okay? I've heard of South Africa. I've heard of Switzerland. So we don't put any bets on the place of safety. Personally, I want to go there. Personally, I'm not all that courageous. If God gives me the courage, fine. But I'm not ready to lay my head below the guillotine and say, do it, guys. If it comes to that, God will give me the strength. Okay, but here's what we need. John 16 and verse 13. Howbeit, when it, the Spirit of the truth, and that's what it is in the Greek, is come, it will guide you into all truth, for it shall not speak of itself, but whatsoever it shall hear, it shall speak. And I now know why the King James translators used he. Because they didn't have tape recorders back then. They could not conceive of a machine or a spiritual power and entity conveying messages as though it were a human voice. Today, that's no problem. We understand it. And it is not he, it is it. Which I went through, and if you haven't received the series on the Holy Spirit, power of God, with the seven tapes with it, and the information with it, by all means, order that. It's on the order form. And I go through in the Greek and show exactly that they deliberately mistranslated it, and I would have to pull back my horns just a little bit and say the deliberation was confusion, because they could not conceive of something other than a person speaking. Okay? 1604, you go back a little bit earlier, other translations. Now we can understand it's the power of God. Now notice what else it says. And it will show you things to come. Now that promise is for us, brother. If we do as Christ said and we watch, it's going to show us things to come. We may not understand it exactly clearly, but we surely ought to be able to understand the signs of the times. So, let's look at some of the signs of the times. First of all, I'm going to read you a summary of a document. Did I cover everything I needed to there? Oh, let's go to Matthew 5. So we go here all the time for the commandments, don't we? Matthew 5:17. Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Let's take just another little look at it, because there's another word in there. Matthew 5:17. Think not that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. And that includes New Testament prophecies. Why? Because Christ inspired them, right? Yes. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Now when you read the book of Revelation, who is doing the fulfilling? Christ. All the way through, right? Is that not true? Yes. In the Old Testament, he said that he declares the end from the beginning, and he is the one who upholds everything. Yes. Now, someone gave me, as a present, a 1599 exact replica, printed up, duplication of the Geneva Bible with all the notes in it. And that's essentially William Tyndale's translation. And he translates, let's go to Hebrews 3 as we're going back to the book of Revelation. We'll stop by there. Hebrews 3. And I love the way that it was translated there. Matter of fact, I ought to make a copy of that and send it to Dr. Stabber Newby. Verse 2, Hebrews 1. Has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Now, the way that the Geneva Bible translates express image of his person is the engraved image of his person. I think that's a wonderful translation, don't you? The engraved image of his person. Not some blob in the sky. But notice, he's upholding everything. And upholding all things by the word of his power. Everything there is. All laws, all prophecies, all life, the whole universe. By the word of his power. Notice it didn't say that he is everything, everywhere. But by his word and command he upholds it. Now let's go to Revelation 1. We'll see that Christ is the one who is doing every single bit of this. Start right out Revelation 1 and verse 1. Revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes it's so simple you almost just fall over backwards, right? Fall off the chair. When in doubt, read the book. I know when we get into some conversations concerning the Bible, you start talking about verses and things and different ideas and things, and you come up with an idea and it sounds this way or looks this way. And I know we were doing that when I was up at Dwight Blevins, and we were talking about the Holy Spirit and the unpardonable sin and all this sort of thing, and we were talking back and forth. And I said, wait a minute. Let's get the Bible. Rule number one, if you're going to talk about the Bible, get the Bible. If you're going to try and decide anything that has to do with the Bible. Not if you're just talk about it, that's fine. But if you're trying to come to a conclusion concerning doctrine or understanding of the Scripture, get the book. Okay, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. And since the book of Revelation covers all the time period from when it was given to John until the end, everything there is shortly coming to pass in its sequence. Now, to make sure everyone understood what this is and who he is and how he's coming, let's pick it up here in verse 7. Behold, he comes with the clouds. Oh, and by the way, this book, The Other Side of the Earth, I mentioned yesterday, written by George Rust. I'm going to order enough of them for those who are on the regular mailing list, so you'll be getting it in the mail sometime 6, 8, 10 weeks down the road. But you know what he says? The rapture is the same. Amazing. See, even a Protestant can come to the truth if he sticks with the Word of God. The only one who has a corner on the truth is God the Father and Jesus Christ. Everyone else has some of it, some more than others. And if you have more than someone else, that doesn't make you anything great. Because what you have, if you think you're great, God will take away. It's very simple. You can't argue with God. Job tried that. That's why it's there. You know. He finally had to realize that God was right in everything he did. Everything that God did was right. Has God ever done anything wrong? Of course not. He's holy and righteous. The problem is our understanding of what he's doing. So he says, behold, he comes with the clouds, and every eye shall see him. Very important. There is no rapture. Okay. Now, that doesn't take away from being taken to a place of safety if God so desires to choose whom he's going to take. And they also which pierced him, which then... Now, how are they... You've often wondered, haven't you often wondered, how are they that pierced him? I mean, think of it. The Roman soldier that was standing there with the spear and ran it in his side and undoubtedly went clear up and stuck in his heart so that he would die. Because one of the prophecies is, he's pierced my heart. How's he going to see me? He's surely not going to be alive when Christ returns, is he? We've often said, well, that means everyone who's ever sinned, because their sins killed Christ. It doesn't say that. How's he going to see him? Well, read the end of the book. Is he not going to be resurrected to a physical life and see him? Is that not part of the book of Revelation? Yes, it is. Is that not part of the prophecy? Yes, it is. So if we don't try and create new doctrine, if we just follow what's in the Bible, we can understand some things. Okay, so he will. He'll see him. And all the kindreds of the earth will welcome him in open arms, even so, amen. Oh, they're going to be mad. They're going to be wail him and so forth. Okay? I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Now let's come down here to verse 11. Saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia. And we got it today, don't we? Question. What good did the book of Revelation do to the seven churches in Asia that were all destroyed within 100 years? They didn't understand it. It was written in a book for us. Again, I want to focus in first and last, the beginning and the ending.
Christ knows exactly what's going to happen. Now let's come all the way over to Revelation 13. And I know you, all of you out there, you know your Bibles. I'm going to assume that you do. Revelation 13 is a very interesting thing. And I marvel at it. The more I read Revelation 13, the more that I see that it's happening exactly that way. So let's read it. Verse 1. I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And upon his horns were 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, his feet were like unto the feet of a bear, his mouth was the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat, and that is his throne and his great authority. Well, let's stop here and ask a couple of questions. Why is the beast rising up out of the sea? What does the sea represent? We find that waters in Revelation 17, let's turn there. Revelation 17 and verse 15. And he said, the waters which you saw where the horn sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. This means that it's going to appear to come up as a grassroots from the people movement. What do we see today? Democracy everywhere. Well, isn't that what CNN says? Operation Democracy. Being imposed upon Haiti. Bob Honeycutt and I were talking about this last night, and he says, they don't want any dictators around because they can't control a dictator. They want elected officials so they can control them. Out of that will come this one beast. But what we are seeing is the resurrection of the one world government of all nations and all peoples and all languages together. Being amalgamated from the same old system that's always been, but everyone deceived into thinking it's democracy. And they can get any kind of deception down as long as they say it is for good, it is for benefit, and it's democratic. So that's what we're seeing. How powerful is this system going to get? Let's read it. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, so it's almost going to fail. But not quite. And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshiped the dragon. So it's important first to bring in the false religion. It's important that that come first. Because Babylon consists of religion, politics, and economics. So that's why I had to move to the one world religion. And it's coming. It's coming. They worship the dragon which gave power to the beast, because Satan deceives the whole world. Here, hold your place here. We know Revelation 12:9, Satan is deceiving the whole world. Now let's go back to Revelation 18 and verse 24. Hardly ever read that verse. I have a suggestion for you. If you ever wonder what you should study in the Bible, study every verse you have not studied. Every verse you have studied becomes a rut. Okay? You might find it interesting. Okay? Let's pick it up here. Verse 23. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in you, that is Babylon. It's going to be destroyed. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall no more be heard in you at all. Your merchants were the great men of the earth. Who runs Coca-Cola, Pepsi-Cola, GM, Ford, and they still make dogs? I'm sorry. If you have a Ford temple, if I were a Catholic, I would bless you. You need it. It's a bad car. I rented one when I was in Colorado, and it was frustrating. Ford, whatever names, Levi, you know, any of the big names, General Motors, General Electric, ADM. Now, if you think you're getting the news Sunday morning when you watch the news, I'm not saying don't watch it. Watch it. But know what you're watching. You're watching the propaganda of Babylon to further every one of the points of their agenda, to make it acceptable to the American people. Because we, the Americans, are the ones they can't control. They're having a hard time controlling us. Eventually, they will have to conclude we can't control them. We can for a while, but we can't rely on it. We want to get all their guns, but we can't. And we want to control them, but you can't. Do you know why? This is why. Even in carnal Protestantism, this is why. Okay, so the merchants, great men of the earth, by your sorceries were all nations deceived. Out of the golden cup of Babylon. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints and all of them that were slain upon the earth. Okay, now let's go back to Revelation 13. So there must be the religious deception first to worship Satan, the devil. Once he's got you worshiping him, he's got you. Then, Satan gives power to the beast and the world, and they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And then he comes up speaking great blasphemies. And power was given to him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, how do you get a nation to give up its sovereignty? That's the key question. You get a nation to give up its sovereignty by deception, a step at a time, and you cause the Constitution to be changed. A step at a time. Brethren, that's what they've done in America. and they're just about ready to close the door. The only problem is, in order to close the door, they must take us over. And I think that's how the United States is going down. Well, you'll understand why I say that just a little bit. I'm going to read to you from a summary of a publication. This was sent to me by Helm Holbrecht. Thank you for it. Freedom from War, the United States Program for General and Complete Disarmament in a Peaceful World. What does the Bible say concerning peace? Peace, peace, and there is no peace. This was a document signed by John F. Kennedy. For all of those of you who believe in constitutional government, please understand that every foreign treaty supersedes the Constitution and becomes enforceable as law over and in place.